Today, the Christmas story takes a turn for the worse. On Christmas Eve, we heard the beautiful story of Jesus' birth. It's so peaceful and so calm and so blissful. Mary and Joseph in the stable and Jesus laid in the manger. It's so calming. The shepherds hearing the angels sing to them, glory to God in the highest, and the shepherds coming and seeing the baby. It's such a beautiful story, and it's so heartwarming. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. But now the story takes a darker turn on the second Sunday of Christmas. Joseph has a dream in which an angel tells him that he has to leave because King Herod is searching for Jesus, the baby Jesus, to kill him. He says, take the mother and his child and flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. So luckily, Joseph is a man who listens to his dreams. He's in touch with his dream life and he obeys. He gets up in the middle of the night and he takes Mary and Jesus and they go out through the dark streets of the town, maybe even as the soldiers are coming in the other side of town. And they flee to Egypt. Across the desert, this long journey to the safety of Egypt. They're not the first ones to leave Israel and find asylum in Egypt. Many others have fled the land of Israel looking for safety, for food in times of famine, for economic opportunity. You think back to the ancient days when Jacob and his family went to Egypt because of the famine, and then Moses led the people back out of Egypt into Israel. So there's historical precedence for going to Egypt. Joseph knows that there's probably Jewish communities in the cities of Egypt where he can find shelter and food until he gets himself on his feet. So he knows he's got some place to go. You know, there have been refugees as long as there have been human societies, I think. When conditions become intolerable, when there's too much war, there's not enough food, you have to pick up and you have to leave your homeland and go to some place where you can find life again. And we think of borders on a map being like walls that you can't cross. But in ancient days, people moved back and forth from one place to another pretty much freely. So Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus are refugees. They don't have much, maybe a donkey, a little food maybe, some supplies, not much as they take this long, long journey. The Bible doesn't say anything about a border crossing. If there's any border guards asking them for their papers maybe, or what's your purpose in coming here? Do you have any friends or relatives that can put you up for a while? Are you going to apply for political asylum? None of that. Probably just walked into Egypt. So they go to a Jewish neighborhood in a city, I'm imagining, or in a town, and they find welcome, hospitality, a place to stay while Joseph gets on his feet, and they can find a new life in Egypt. But Egypt is not home. And Joseph keeps listening to his dreams to see when the Lord is going to call him back. And many months go by until, in a dream, he sees an angel again. And the angel says, get up, take the child and his mother, and come back to Israel, for King Herod, who wanted to kill the baby, is dead now. So Joseph is a faithful and obedient man. He listens to his dreams. He gets up and he obeys and he goes back to Israel with Mary and Jesus. That long, long journey across the desert. And then when they get back to Bethlehem, the home of Joseph's family, they find that Archelaus is now the ruler. Archelaus is Herod's son. He's just as bad as Herod. And so Joseph figures he'd better find a safer place. So they move to Nazareth, and that's where Jesus is raised. You know, this is typical for refugees. You think that you've found a safe place. You've gotten to the place where you want to end up, but then it turns out that you have to move on again. Refugees aren't in control of their life, and they get bounced around from one place to another. That's the reality of it. I read that 2015 was the worst year for displaced persons and refugees since World War II. More people streaming across borders, leaving their homelands, searching for a better life somewhere else. The war in Syria alone has displaced hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people who have left everything. They sell everything they can. They buy passage with a smuggler who they have to trust. And many people don't make it. They may die at sea or of hunger and thirst. They may not be able to get across the border they want to get across. They may find themselves stuck in a refugee camp for months or years and years. It's a gamble. It's a risk. So, in many ways, not much has changed over the last 2,000 years. People are still going across borders. When tyrants send their armies into battle, then it's the little people that get crushed. There's an African proverb, when elephants fight, the grass suffers. It's true. And this story in the Bible about Jesus and Mary and Joseph going to Egypt and coming back, it highlights the difference between Herod and Joseph. Herod is governor because the Romans appointed him, but he's under a lot of pressure from a lot of different directions. The only thing Herod knows is raw power. That's how he got there, and that's how he stays in power. He's jealous. He's suspicious. He seems to be paranoid of any potential rival. He doesn't trust anyone. Everyone is a potential enemy. And he has nightmares about losing his power. Joseph, on the other hand, has no power. He's poor, he's vulnerable, he's helpless. But Joseph has something that Herod doesn't. He trusts God, and he listens to his dreams. He's in touch with the life of the soul, the life of the spirit. And he follows the way he's led. He has good dreams and not nightmares. So Herod represents all of those, I think, who live by violence. And Joseph represents all those who live by the spirit. I think we probably all have a little bit of Herod in us. And we have a little bit of Joseph in us as well. For myself, I try to ignore my inner Herod much as I can and listen to my inner Joseph. So Jesus starts out his life as a refugee, a displaced person, an immigrant, a homeless person. What this shows us, I think, is that salvation comes from the most unexpected places. Who would think that the Messiah would come out of a refugee camp in Egypt? You know, we think that we'll find our salvation in money or relationships or a career. But what we find is that God comes to us in the most unexpected ways and the most unexpected people. Out of Egypt, you might say. A young friend of mine has been having some difficulties lately. He's about 30. He's been a party boy, living the good life. And lately he's had some troubles with his job and with his girlfriend. And he's come to realize that his drinking is getting in the way of his life. And he wrote on Facebook just last night, he said, I would never have thought this, but tonight, instead of watching the football game, I went to church. And the sermon hit home. Salvation comes from the most unexpected places, even church. I know for myself, I have had to let go of some of the ideas that I've had about God in order that I might have a new relationship with the God that is being revealed to me. Sometimes salvation comes in unexpected ways. Sometimes we have to open ourselves to something new, something unexpected, if we're going to grow spiritually. You know, there are so many stories in the Bible that show how salvation comes, not in the way you expected it, but in surprising ways. You know, salvation is like a treasure box that a farmer plows up in his field and opens it and it's full of gold coins. Salvation is like a perfect pearl that a merchant finds in a box rolling around with a bunch of other flawed pearls, and he buys it at once. Salvation is like a gold coin that a woman sweeps up in a corner of her house. Salvation is like a prodigal son who comes home and to his father's welcome instead of a slap, an embrace instead of a slap. Salvation comes out of Egypt, out of the most unexpected places. So I hope that we will be like Joseph. I hope that we will continue to listen to the life of the Spirit, and that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened, as it says in Ephesians today, and that we will find salvation even in the most unexpected places. Amen.